You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 172 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Equestrian Plus. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we meet with our featured 2026 Make the Makeover trainer and longtime listener, Shannon Quashie. Then we meet an adoptable horse of the week and a new training tip with New Vocations' Aaron McDonald. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Ah, Kristen, the days are lighter. My kids are screaming. Spring is coming. It is good.
That's how you can tell when the baby crows.
Oh my gosh, that's a shirt I'm going to have. But it's kind of cute. And listeners, you'll probably hear it because Helena is joining us this episode.
I think we've had Helena most episodes. Have we had Archer yet?
Helena is attached to me like super glue.
Archer, hello, Helena.
Care less about me. I'm a food source and that is it. He is all about his dad.
Charming. Well, I mean, at least he's into his dad, so that's good.
Actually, a really nice thing to have them split, because if they're both into me, that's going to be a very, very difficult situation on my end.
So I can't wait to, you know how like this did not happen to me because I never did anything embarrassing at all in my life, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't remember my high school graduation party, but this is one of those things that you bring up at the high school graduation party to be like, remember when I was doing the podcast and you were stuck to me the whole time? So yeah,
I can't wait for it. I'm sure we're going to catch them, especially once they start talking and they say awkward things on the show. It's going to be great. Keep those bloopers in. But yeah. Right now he's playing with her stuffed Highland cat. And has a lot to say about it.
Yes, I heard a little something there. Hey, kids. It's me, your crazy podcast aunt.
I know. Before the show really started, I was like, say hi to your aunt Kristen.
Your crazy podcast auntie from another state. Someday. Yeah. Someday we'll get back over there.
She started her obsession with cows, so.
Perfect. Well, I've got that riding cow. I do not have her going yet this year. I try not to ride them when they're like very pregnant, because I assume that nobody wants to be
very pregnant
sat on. Right. So, but yes, we, over the weekend, we took the bull off. The bull winters out there just to kind of like, I don't know if like a discreet way to say this, to like breed anything that didn't get bred during the season. So he's called the cleanup bull. And I was like, ugh, there has to be a better word for this, but
we have a better name for him.
Can we have a better name for like lots of things? He is from a neighbor farmer and he had a name and I forgot what it was, but I call him Intrusive Thoughts because he likes to come and they claim he's coming to get his face scratched. And I'm like, I don't trust bulls enough to scratch their faces. I think he's coming to pound me into the dirt. So I just stay away from him and call him Intrusive Thoughts because he'll see me from across the pasture and it's like, hello, and starts coming over. And I'm like, no, not today. But anyway, he's safely in the barn. So now the cow pasture is once again a place of like harmony and love. There's no calves, it's just cows. I'm just waiting to have calves, and there's no bull, and it's great. So
it was always funny at the calf updates from you of like one just randomly shows up one day.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. We'll be like, oh well, I guess calving season has started. So I mean, like, we know generally when it's gonna start based on when we turned the bulls out last summer, but it's like a roughly 9 month, pretty much like a person. So we have a little bit of time to get ready, which is good because I think it's going to snow again in a couple of days. So,
gotta love the Midwest weather.
Yeah.
Speaking of, how have you been enjoying the random little bits of warm, then cold, then warm we are having?
Yeah, we've been in, I don't know what, the false spring, fool's spring. So we've gotten a lot of garden work done, which you can follow along because this has basically just become our gardening account. Our little farm Instagram is Painted Forest Farm, all one word. So you can see our largely gardening adventures. We haven't gotten into the farm part yet because we haven't bought the farmland yet, but been doing a lot of stuff there, and then we have been riding when we can. So I've taken Jobber out quite a few times. Eric's ridden Shorty a handful of times. My mom's ridden West twice. I rode West once. Yeah, I mean, I think the horse that wintered the best is Shorty. So Eric trotted him in the big pasture the other day because I was like, listen, it's warm. Like, let's do it. Now we're not going to get out there again for like at least 2 weeks. But he looked great. I mean, he's like really muscled up through his back. So I think it's like the horse is 13 this year, I think, or 12, 13 or 12. I'll go with 12. But he's finally kind of reached that point, I think, where like his metabolism has sort of slowed into like adulthood finally. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of like ground exercises to strengthen his top line over the winter. And he actually came out of winter looking really, really good. And you can tell in the way that he's carrying himself under saddle. So I'm really excited to see what kind of summer he has. So yeah. And otherwise, like, you know, Jobber is Jobber. He tries to dictate where we go. And if I have time, I let him. So like the other day, he's like, we're going to go over here and look at this pasture. And I was like, great, go ahead. So I'm completely at his disposal. So I'm just along for the ride at this point.
Surrendered to Jobber.
Yeah.
And his intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. His intrusive thoughts are fairly so far. I mean, we haven't tried to canter yet. Like the first canter, there will be lots of intrusive thoughts. But for now, he's like, I'd like to go across the creek today. I'm like, all right, sure. We'll go across the creek. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice of you. I can say if I was riding my mare, I would never trust her intrusive thoughts because I know exactly what it is. It is, let me go into the lake.
Oh, yeah. She is a bit of a siren, isn't she? She just is like, the water calls me.
Yes.
She's just like full, you know, Moana, really just goes for it.
Let's go in the water.
So weird. How's she doing? I saw that you got to go see her.
She's never gone past her knees, and she's like, think we should do this today. So if she does end up getting moved to my in-laws, she will have access to a private lake, and I might just let her do it for the first time.
Yeah, you know what, be like, great, I think they call that FAFO, like, right? Like, you go see what's in that pond.
Tell me how it goes.
Right.
But at least that one, I know the footing is safer than what we have at the barn. It's not meant for horses to go in, but she really wants to.
I've seen that lake, right?
Yes. But
yeah,
hey,
yeah. That's Friday, a nice lake.
That's okay. But how are your crafting hobbies? So the listeners don't know, this is your first time listening in. Kristen is quite the crafter and even has her own business.
I do. Yeah. I had my first fairly dismal craft show of the year. So looking forward to some better ones, hopefully. I also inherited, it's sitting right behind me, so I'm turning my head to look at it. I inherited like a century-ish old spinning wheel.
Cooler every time we talk.
I'm glad that you think that, because I'm like, man, I've really gone off the deep end. Like, this fiber thing has gone way out of control. There's like, as I'm sitting here, I'm looking just at my desk. Like, there's normal things you'd have on a desk, which is like laptops and a second monitor and a printer. And then there's a yarn bowl. And then if I turn the other way, there's two drop spindles and a bunch of roving. And then beyond that, there's like a stack of totes just full of wool. There's a lot more wool in here than I would like to admit. It's not good. This has really gotten out of hand.
Either out of hand or it's exactly where it should be. Like, it's all about perspective.
Sure. Yeah. I like that. Eric said, I'm going to like commemorate this. He was like, I would rather have sheep than chickens. And I was like, oh, ho, ho. And he was like, please note that did not say I would like sheep. And I was like, okay, but what I heard was you'd rather have sheep than chickens, which means I can get sheep. So
saying my mother-in-law is again. So there will be 4 or 5 new baby lambs.
Perfect. Great. That'll be my reason. I'll bring the trailer. I will come visit you guys. I will see my niece and nephew. And then I will get some sheeps.
I know. I mean, you can put them inside a Subaru. They will fit.
We don't have a Subaru anymore. All we have are little trucks. Oh, well, Eric's getting a cap on his truck.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll just jam them in there. That'll be great.
Nothing can go wrong. They'll like it in there.
Oh, my God. It'll be awesome. All right, Eric, we're getting the sheeps. Joe said I could. So, yeah, how's your horse doing? I saw that you got to go visit her.
Yes, I'm finally getting like little glimpses of time with her away from the children. And despite my daughter seeming like she's not going to let me have that time. Yeah, take the pacifier. I love that for you. Yes, it's been nice that I feel like I can get away for a little bit. And so I've been giving her like not the luxurious grooming that I used to be able to do. It really put some things in perspective of how I took advantage of how much time I had before babies. But she is definitely appreciating, she's shedding some nice scratches from the curry comb and getting extra treats and cuddles. Like it, I really missed my horse. Like I know people make it work to see them, but two infants and when they're not in your backyard, it's tough, especially in winter. It is really tough to get out there the way you'd want to. And it was a very cold winter as well. So if you've done it, I applaud you. I picked my battles and I knew she was in good care of the many amazing women who also board in the same field that I do.
I love that part, you know, that like, it's not like you just abandoned her in a field somewhere, right? Like, you know, you're in a good network, you have a good farm system, good friends, like there's a season for these things. And yeah, I mean, your babies are only babies once.
Yes, yes. And it was kind of a, you know, if we've been having like more mild winters like you've had historically, I might have tried to swing it and bring them out there. But, you know,
this winter was brutal. Was, man, we had a lot of cold.
And while Zach is amazing, I don't think his sanity would have lasted long if I was taking regular barn trips just to see my horse.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, but it was, it's been good. It's been really nice to see it back. And like, we're trying different treats. It's not like celery. I thought she might. She didn't. I brought carrots back up collateral just in case. So I won her back over.
Yeah, I'm with Astrid on that one. No one likes celery.
But the other mares liked it. So that was nice. But
okay, well, I feel like other than them,
I'm gonna try like random like produce from my fridge and just say like, what do you like? Especially the stuff that's getting a little questionable. I'm like, well, the horse like this.
I love it.
So that's kind of where I'm at with her. But I am excited that I have access to a free lease.
Ooh.
Riding will come back in my life. I'm waiting for warmer weather. I have the chance to like be a fair weather rider and I'm doing it this year.
Oh, that's so exciting.
But it's Millie. It's Mildred.
Oh, yay. Millith.
Yes. I was
wondering what she was up to.
She's doing so well. She has been schooling at first level.
Whoa.
Which has been great. She's enjoying it. She's very much ready to go back to the outdoor. She hates the indoor. But yes, I'm really excited to play with her. And it's fun because she is really like that all around, all purpose horse. Like you could throw a Western saddle on her and she'd be okay with it. You could take her on a hunt and she'd be okay with it. She likes to jump. She likes to do all the things. So it's like, she's just that really fun horse, which is why we picked her for my student anyway, to like be her forever friend, try all the things, have the saddle club experience. She is that horse for it.
But, perfect.
You know, she's a 13-year-old girl, not Millie, the student. And she's in sport and she's got camp and she, you know, is doing 4-H and she has a very busy schedule. And so they're good friends of ours and they trust me with her, obviously. So we worked out, I'd be able to ride her as my lesson horse this year. So I'm excited for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time. So
that's good for everybody. That's good for you. Good for the kid. Good for Millie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a safe horse. You know, it's nice knowing I'm not going to get on one that needs a lot of work right away.
Yeah. Like, ease back into it. Right.
As it was. So.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Yay. Oh, I'm so pleased for you.
I'll have riding updates soon. So.
Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Yes. It'd be fun to be able to do a first level test. I have not been able to do one for a very, very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you can do it.
I love that. Well, it's what I just said. There's seasons for everything. And like, yeah, maybe this is a good time to kind of get back into some of the more formal stuff. That's exciting.
Yeah. So
I'm so excited for you.
So it's just locking down an instructor now. I've reached out to a judge I've scribed for many times who I really, really like. So hopefully she will take me on. But I also reached out to a hunter jumper trainer as well. who we will actually have on the show at some point. They have a new aftercare program that they're, well, not aftercare, it's retraining, specifically retraining of thoroughbreds. It's a new pilot program here. So they'll be joining the show, but very like-minded, which I appreciate. And I will admit, I am not good with the 4-H judging what they're looking for on that space. So sometimes you just need to call in another expert to help out. And so I was like, maybe I'll take some lessons with her too and just broaden my experience and my knowledge. So it's just going to be the season of trying things. And I love that I'm going to have a horse who can do it.
Oh, that's so fun. It's fun to have like kind of a blank, not a blank slate, but like, let's just say an open book, maybe, you know, like a horse that can do whatever and just see where the spirit takes you.
Yeah. Which I feel like is a good theme for this episode because we are introducing our Making the Makeover rider. Always fun to hear what disciplines that rider is considering for their horse for the first time. And we're going to see an adoptable horse of the week who, it sounds like, from what I've heard, could go in a lot of directions. So it's going to be a good episode, good theme, new season. We're feeling inspired. But before we get into all that, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
Is your horse suffering from digestive tract issues, such as diarrhea, colic, or hindgut imbalances? Does he need a high-grain diet? Is he under stress? Nalox Advanced can help. Nalox Advanced is a scientifically formulated blend of ingredients that works synergistically to maintain a healthy stomach, small intestine, and hindgut. It contains long-acting gastric buffers and coating agents to maintain a normal stomach pH. It provides an effective probiotic to support complete digestion of starch and sugars in the foregut, helping maintain a healthy hindgut. And it supplies broad-spectrum prebiotics to sustain a healthy balance of beneficial microbes and well-balanced microbiome. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. Well, Joy, it is March, which means it is high time that we are in makeover season. And I'm super excited to introduce our featured Make the Makeover trainer this year, who's been, I think, a longtime listener, part of the Makeover family, part of the Horse Radio Network family. So we're really pumped to have with us this year, Shannon Quashy. Shannon, welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, you guys. I'm super excited to be on.
It's fun to get to like just kind of sit and chat with you because I know I've gotten to like chat with you very briefly at the makeover in the past while we're both like sprinting in opposite directions doing 600
right exactly things, right? Exactly.
Yeah, so now we get to like sit down and actually chat and hang out. And the only problem is we're not actually, yeah, it's too bad that we're not like in the same barn aisle at the end of a ride actually sitting down and having a chat, but this will do.
Well, that would be cool, but maybe meantime. Someday
maybe someday. Yeah, I'll take a little little road trip and just show up with a cooler.
There you go. I've got plenty of horses for you here.
Ooh, even better.
Too many horses, but that's another story. So yeah.
No. Well, no, that's exactly what we want to know. How many horses do you have? What's going on down there?
So I have five. I have four thoroughbreds. And I have one Welsh pony, who's my daughter's pony that she has. Well, she hasn't outgrown because my daughter actually can still ride her. My daughter is petite, so she can still ride him, but he's 28 years old. And then I have four off the track thoroughbreds, three of whom are all related, which kind of goes into the story of my hopeful this year. It's kind of a bit of a story how I got him. Yeah, I'm not sure if you kind of want me to start from that or...
You know what? Let's jump right into that. Yeah. Okay. First, I was going to be like, tell me your horsey life story. But I think actually, now since you segued, let's talk about your makeover horse and then we'll come back to your horsey life story because I'm really interested in this relation relatives kind of thing going on.
Well, I'll try to keep it brief. But it started actually in 2020. So I've been going to the makeover. So I've been following the makeover since literally it started. I got my first thoroughbred, Woody. I got him in 2013 from Charlestown as a 4-year-old, straight from the track. And literally the very first makeover that was at Pimlico, right, was like 2 weeks after I got him. And so although I didn't get to attend that one, I was kind of following along, and then I got to finally attend my first one in 2018 in Kentucky. And I remember walking around the horse park literally in tears, and I'll probably get emotional now talking about it, but just literally in tears, seeing how, you know, all these horses doing these amazing things after only 10 months of training. And so at that time I was like, this is, you know, this would be really cool. This would be really fun to do this one day. So fast forward, that was 2018, 19, 2020. Then I have listened to Retired Racehorse Radio from day one, but I didn't start in the beginning. I learned about it in also mid 2020 when Kyle Rothfuss from Mareworthy was on as a guest talking about his mare Diana, who was going through race training. That, like, I knew nothing about Horse Radio Network. I knew nothing about Retired Racehorse Radio, but I'd been following Kyle for a long time. He was going to be a guest. Heard him and his trainer on that episode, and then I was like, "Wow, this podcast is amazing! I'm going to go back and listen to day one or from day one." So I did go back, and I binged from episode one, and then hearing a little bit about Jamie's journey, getting ready for, when was that, 2019? I was like, "Okay, yeah, I even though, you know, she had." It wasn't like the greatest journey in the world, but it was like, yeah, I want to do this. So anyway, so again, 2020, I was casually on the market for a mare who I specifically wanted a mare because I was, and I don't want to go too long, but it all has to do with everything. I had two old geldings at the time. I had a little pony mare it was time for her to be put down. And I was literally just looking for a pasture pup. I knew I wanted an off the track horse. But I wasn't necessarily looking for one that was rideable. I just wanted a pasture pup to replace her, to be a friend for the two old geldings. So as I was scrolling, looking for that, I came across this mare. Oh, and then let me also say, I knew if I was going to do the makeover, I wanted a war horse. I wanted one who had run at least 50 times. I think they're awesome. I think they end up being super sound to make it that long. Racing, you know, they've got to be sound. And so, right. So I came across this mare, So Be It Sylvia is her name. She was in Pennsylvania. She had run 78 times. She was 9 years old, and it was, like a month after her last race. And she had been with the same connections, her entire small mom and pop, you know, breeders, trainers in Pennsylvania. They bred her, they trained her, they raced her. She had been with them her entire career. So I ended up bringing her home in October of 2020, with the goal of doing the makeover with her in 21, which I did do. And, but I still needed a pasture mate for the two old geldings, because she ended up
right. That's where this started.
That's where this is going. So because I you know, I was working full time, I couldn't restart her myself. So I ended up sending her to my trainers to help me restart her. So yeah, I still needed a pasture mate for the other two. Well, she had a sister, a half sister. So for those who are not super familiar with the Thoroughbred and Jockey Club world, half sisters are the same dam, but different sires. So she had a half sister who was also available, who had ran 56 times.
Oh my gosh.
And then had two babies. And so I brought her home the next month, and that's, her name is, so the first mare is So Be It Sylvia. The second mare, half sister, is Sylvia. I can't even remember my own horse's name. Sylvia's Sweetheart.
I love that.
Well, so, and all these horses, all of it, because they all come from the same lines, and almost all of them have Sylvia in their name. Like that mare, Sobe, as I call her, the first mare, she's got a full brother, a full, two full, three, she's got full, three full siblings, a full brother and two full sisters who ran, and then she has this half sister. Anyway, at the time I picked up Seven, that's what I call the half sister. There were two babies out in the field with the grandma, right? With these two mares, Dam, who started the whole line. Well, those two babies, one was a yearling, one was a two-year-old. Those were Sevi's two babies. So now, fast forward, both of those geldings started, and I've been following them through their whole careers. And then first one didn't do very well. He only ran like three or four times, and then they ended up retiring. And the woman wanted me to take him, that first one. And I was like, no, I don't need another horse, blah, blah, blah. Well, then when it was time for the second one, in 2023, and I'm sorry, I hope I'm making sense during all this. I know I'm all over the place, but 2023, he was a four-year-old and had run seven times at that point. And she was like, I'm going to run him one more time. He has not won. He had not won anything at that point.
Oh,
she said, yeah. So she's like, I'm going to run him one more time. And if he doesn't win, I'm going to go ahead and retire him. And I want you to take him. And I was like, no, I don't need another horse. Because now at this point, I've got, I also had an old quarter horse at that time. So I had, five horses at that time. And I didn't need another horse. No, I lied. My old quarter horse had died at that point. So I only had four. So
you have room is what you're saying.
Technically I had a stall. Yes, I did. So I have my own farm, here in Loudoun County. And I did have a stall. And so I was like, no. Well, that night of his first, of that last, quote unquote, that last race, I was talking to Sue Smith, who runs Canter PA. Mm-hmm. And she kept telling me, because she knows this family. She's known this family for years and years and years. And they take good care of their horses. And she's like, so this one, his name is Sylvia I Am. Horrible name for a gelding. And not only is his name Sylvia I Am, but there are actually two Sylvia I Ams. They were not super creative. They reused the same name.
Oh, no.
So there's a Sylvia I Am that was born in 2009, whose dam is also another half-sister to my two girls.
Oh, gosh.
And ironically, on an auditor, HRN auditor, owns him. And I found this out like back in 2020 when I got my two girls. She recognized the Sylvia name. And I was like, wait, I've got it. She says, I've got a Sylvia as well. Anyway, so now they reuse the same name in 2019. Sylvia I Am again. And they called him Charlie. So
as you do, right?
Exactly. So I was talking to Sue Smith that night when he was running this quote unquote last race. And she's like, you got to take him. He's gorgeous. Now I had seen him several times, but I just was checking. I didn't want him. I didn't need him. You got to take him. He's gorgeous, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. Well, of course he did not win in that race. And I may or may not have had a cocktail or two that night.
Aha.
And I was like, fine, I'll take him. And so the next morning, fortunately, I did not regret my decision the next morning.
Good.
I wasn't like, oh, smack, what did I do? No, I was like, okay, I guess I'm bringing him home. So I called the, the owner lady we're now friends. And I was like, okay, I guess it's time for him to come home and be with his mom and his aunt/three-quarter sisters. Oh, so here's the other thing. He and my mare Sobe, the first one, they have the same sire as well.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So there's no, and people are always like, oh my God, that's gross. But no, there's no inbreeding at all. Because again, right. Sobe and Sevi are half siblings. So Sobe's sire is Jumpstart and Charlie's sire is also Jumpstart. So that makes Charlie and Sobe three-quarter siblings because Sobe's a half-sister to his mom. It gets very confusing and convoluted. But they're three.
I love trying to pick apart thoroughbred family trees like this, where you're like, this is related to the, it's like you need those auction pages to be like, who is related to who?
Drew a family tree because I was like, because then there are all these other siblings and half siblings and everything, but I literally drew a family tree. And so yeah, she's his aunt and also his three-quarter sibling, which is kind of cool. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to go ahead and bring him home. So I said, okay, I'll come pick him up next weekend. And so that was the plan. This was 2023, November of 23. Well, a couple of days before I was going to pick him up, she calls me. She's like, would you mind if I ran him one more time? He got bumped at the gate and I really think he's got a win in him. And, you know, is it okay if I run him one more time? And I'm like, I mean, I don't own the horse yet. What can I do? So I'm like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Now at that time, again, he was 4 years old and had run 7 times. Well, I just finally brought him home past October.
I was going to say, I was like, wait a minute.
Yep.
two
more years he ran and 23 more races, 24 more. He ran 31 times. One win out of that 31 times. Yeah. Got a few, couple seconds, I think 4 seconds, 8/3. Grand total earnings of $53,000. So
that's not terrible. You know, if he was paying his way, that's kind of the deal with Jobber. Like my horse only won twice, but he ran almost 40 times because he just sort of kept coasting along.
That's exactly it. Like you said, they pay the bills. They're, you know, they're all of these, you know, seven and Sobe too. They, even if they came in because they're all PA bred, so they get extra incentives and stuff for being PA bred. And so even if they come in third or fourth, they can still get, you know, $1,500, $1,800 a pop. And so they pay the bills and it keeps everything going. So
good to know for listeners who like a war horse, you know, the Pennsylvania program might be a good place to go to find them because all those good incentives. So they do tend to run a little longer in those regional programs.
They really do. I think they do because those state incentives are really,
they're
really
quite lucrative. Yeah,
they really are. And I swear my mare, Sobe, who ran 78 times is literally the soundest of all my horses. She is more sound than my first gelding, Woody, who only ran 6 times, 7 times. She's more sound than he is. And
well, and I'm interested in this because you now own so many representatives from this family, you know, like I think we could, it's a small sample size, right? To be like, look how sound they all are. But like, chances are there's a genetic component in there somewhere, right? That kept them on the track that long. And it's not necessarily because they won a lot, but it's because they were sturdy and sound enough, you know, to keep placing high enough to earn money. What other similarities do you notice with them, like family wide?
What I will say, if I can just go back to your point there,
what
I think is great and what really helped these horses particularly is these folks, they don't start running them until they're three. They do not start them as 2 year olds. They don't start running until three, and they keep them at their farm a lot. When they do start them, they are started like galloping around the cornfields and like the hills. It's, you know, kind of like hilly, and they've got cornfields and all that on their property as well. So they are doing their initial training and starting galloping around the cornfields. They actually let them be turned out in the pasture. And when they take breaks, you know, from racing, they bring them back. They don't always keep them at the track all the time. They're not there, you know, 24/7, 365 days a year. They bring them home. They turn them out. She has a little pond. She swims them in the pond. And I really think all of that helps them, at least help these ones, to have some long careers. I will say that I think that the dam side is excellent. I think and I don't want to call out any, you know, names of time. And this, so the Mare 7, who's Charlie's dam, her sire was Maisel Trick, and I don't know much about him at all. I don't know anything about him, but she has severe cervical arthritis. So I cannot I cannot ride her. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't, we can kind of plot around in the, you know, whatever, but she's got pretty severe cervical arthritis. Her first foal, her first one, literally, unfortunately, also developed severe cervical arthritis. And she, and I am, and I don't even know if we want to go into all that. And I think that Charlie also has some issues in his neck. But I think, and again, I don't want to say, oh, that horse is a terrible horse, he's carrying it. But it's interesting that that line from her is all having issues with their neck, whereas all these other ones, like from the dam side and who have different sires, do not have those issues. And I have no idea. I don't want to call out that stallion for having issues. It's just weird that all three from that line are, you know, having some issues with their, some cervical arthritis issues. But back to them being sound. Again, Sobe has a full brother who another auditor has, that other full brother, she brought him home a couple of years ago. So there's several members of the family that are in the auditor family, which is really cool. But
I love that.
He ran, I think, 53 times, and another full sibling. Then these are all jumpstart babies. Another mare ran like 40 something times. So it's definitely something in those bloodlines that keep them going long. And then I really believe that the way they take care of them at their farm has a lot to do with it too. And starting them a little later, I think that makes a huge difference, in my opinion.
I love that. I think, I would be tempted to agree, you know, again, with limited sample size, but I think that's such a good illustration too of like, there's a situation, like if you can think of the perfect horse you want, there is probably a horse in training somewhere that matches those parameters, right? Like, I think we have this mindset of like, they're always stabled. They never go get on pasture. They never gallop in a field. And chances are, actually, I think a fair number of them do. They just sort of fly under the radar because I think our high profile ones tend to be a little more, you know, bubble wrapped. It's the same thing with show horses. Like, you know, they do spend a lot of time in the stall. So that's fascinating. So looking forward to, you know, learning a little more, you know, about these guys as you learn more, you know, about him in the training process. Tentatively right now, you know, obviously we have months and months before the makeover, not too many months, but we have enough months. Do you know what discipline you might want to point him towards?
So we are going for competitive trail, which is what, so that's basically all I do is I trail ride. And I always say, you know, oh, well, all I do is trail ride, but trail. And everybody tells me, don't say it like that. You know, trail riding is,
I love it.
I'm like, I grew up, oh, we can go. Yeah. I, that's what I grew up doing was riding. And I grew up in Arizona and I would just hop on my old, I was into quarter horses at the time. And that's all we did is trail ride. And then spent my summers in Montana because my grandfather had a cabin up there. So it was trail riding in the mountains in Montana. And that's what I love doing. And then I do dabble a little bit in working equitation. So I do, and I enjoy just the obstacle stuff. And so I did do competitive trail with Sobe in 21. And then that is our goal is to do. And plus he has some issues in his hind end as well. He injured his pelvis before he ever started running. Perhaps maybe should not have run as long as he did. Their very first time taking him to the track, when they were literally taking him to the track for the very first time to go ahead and start training at the track, he jumped over the chest bar in their trailer and got his right hind leg hung up. And basically hyperextended his leg and who knows, tore some stuff up in his pelvis. And he was after a couple of weeks stall rest, he was quote unquote sound. He wasn't limping or anything. So, you know, they went ahead and
away he went.
And so he's super, super weak in his hind end. I have not even sat on him. So I brought him home October 17th. All along, I knew I was going to let him just chill, and just his, he was just super body sore. So I got him his last race was September 10th. And then I couldn't pick him up right away because guess what? I was going to the makeover, and I didn't want to bring him home, have him home for, you know, 2 weeks and then turn around and leave for a week. And right. So I waited until after I got back from the makeover. And, so my plan all along was to let him sit over the winter and then, get him started in the spring. Well, then that, I mean, I guess technically it's not spring yet, but I did get delayed a lot because of all the snow and everything we had. I was doing a lot of hand walking with them, a lot of hand walking. We're just doing a lot of trying to strengthen his core, strengthen his high and the end, you know, top line. We're doing lots and lots of hand walking, lots of hills, like little hills, walking serpentines on hills, you know, walking over poles. This horse could literally not back up when I got him. He could not back up. It was very difficult for him. He would take one or two steps and just be throwing his head in the air because he couldn't back up. Now we can back up. Well, we still can't back up a hill, but we're getting stronger and stronger. But yeah, I have not even sat on him yet.
That's a tough one, backing uphill. It's so good for stifles, but like, yeah, I have to work Jobber up to that in the spring, where he also is like, nope, not doing it. And I'm like, oh,
it's
okay.
Hard. Yeah,
it is very, hard.
Very
yeah.
hard for them.
Yeah. I love that approach. And I mean, you've listened to this show long enough, you know, we love all the groundwork and hand walking and all those like things you can do when you can't ride to strengthen your horse. Like, this is lovely. So exactly. Yeah, we're going to have fun following you around and cheering you on. Shannon, are you documenting this on social media anywhere where listeners could follow along?
No,
and it's fine if you're not. That just means that that's okay. That means that we're getting a Retired Racehorse Radio exclusive. So
there we are. Exactly.
This is it. This is the place.
I'm documenting for myself. I'm making
perfect.
Heck, I was about to say hella. I don't know, but yeah, I'm making tons of you know, notes, and I literally bought a Pivo for the sole purpose. Well, not the sole purpose. I bought a Pivo, so I'm by myself at my farm here, and so when I was trying to film my video for the makeover application, and my daughter lives in Richmond, that's a couple hours away, and she does come home, you know, like once a month or so. But it was like cutting it close. I needed to make my video for the makeover application. And then I knew I wanted to document the stuff with Charlie. So I bought a Pivo so that way I could document our stuff. But do I post it on social media? Not at all.
That's fine. It can be just for you. That's totally fine. I love
that. I've got my little notebook. I'm making all kinds of notes of, you know, just literally especially in the beginning, right? Just feeding. So, transitioning him, so all my horses are all barefoot, I believe, you know, proper nutrition, turnout, and all that. So all my horses are barefoot. My initial plan was not necessarily to take him barefoot right away because I didn't want to just throw him out and, you know, be barefoot and, you know, here you go, just good luck. But when he came to me, when I picked him up, he had already lost a shoe. She told me, like, you know, before I went to pick him up, she's like, well, he's a little overdue and he lost a shoe, but I figured, you know, you'd want to have your farrier do it, so I just left him. I'm like, okay, great, thanks. Well, yeah, so he came to me with he was very overdue, missing a front shoe, lame because he was foot sore, and then another hind shoe was like hanging off. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to pull these things. And my hoof trimmer, fortunately, we're very good friends as well. So she literally came out, like, I think 2 days after I brought him home, and we pulled the rest of his shoes. And she had boots. I do have boots, but my boots couldn't even go on him because his toes were so long. I use flex boots. I'm not that, you know, I don't know if anybody knows what those, but they're called flex boots, and I absolutely love them, but because they're great. They don't come above the hairline at all. They just kind of slide right on. And so you don't have to worry about rubbing. You can turn them out on them, and they're awesome. But I literally could not get his foot into the boot because his toes were so long. They wouldn't go into the boot. But she fortunately had another pair I think Cavallos or something that did fit him. So he was in boots for the first couple of weeks. And I'm fortunate because I don't have, like, the footing is fine. You know, they're in the pasture, the bluestone, and then the barn. It wasn't like he's walking over rocks or anything. So he actually transitioned to barefoot. She was trimming him every 2 weeks, and his feet look amazing. In the whatever it is now, 4 months, she was stunned at how quickly he transitioned, and he's doing, yeah, his feet look fantastic now in just those few months.
Awesome.
So yeah, and I think I just completely lost track of what you asked me.
No, this is good. We'll take a deep dive into, so, like, you know, we're just getting to know you today, but we're going to take a deep dive into feet and nutrition and, you know, more of the training process and, you know, what you're feeding him and all that stuff. So, so yeah, like, definitely excited to learn more about this and, you know, the work that you've done with him already. But Shannon, super excited to meet you and Charlie this evening, and we'll look forward to following your journey through the rest of the season.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Did you hear? Practical Horseman just launched an all-new membership, Practical Horseman Plus. You get expert training videos, premium articles, and VIP seminars with top professionals, plus merch drops and exclusive newsletters. Get unlimited access anytime, anywhere. Practical Horseman Plus, a legacy of horsemanship for today's English rider. Join today at practicalhorseman.com and use code PH10 to get 10% off of an annual membership.
Well, it's everyone's favorite time of the show where we talk to a representative from New Vocations. And today we have Erin McDonald. Welcome back to the show, Erin.
Thanks for having me.
It is great having you because it's been a minute since we talked, and I'm just jealous of your location right now with our changing seasons up in the north, and seeing all the lovely horses that you've been bringing on through New Vocations social media. But with the north also changing seasons, we are getting ready for show season up here, which means a lot of horses that may have been adopted since over the fall and winter who had their letdowns and, like, quality bonding time, are getting ready for their very first show season. What recommendations or tips do you have for listeners who are bringing a young horse in, or maybe a horse who's had a substantial break in showing, getting them from that very laissez-faire, relax riding schedule to a more structured schedule to get them ready for their show seasons?
Yeah, so I would say that kind of it's a bit 50-50 with the youngsters, or certainly the horses that have had a bit of time off. Sometimes they actually will continue to improve once their schedule kind of increases and it's a bit more serious. And then certainly we see, kind of on the other hand, some youngsters kind of start to get a little bit overwhelmed with their new schedules. So I would say the biggest thing is not to be in a rush. Take things slow. I know it's super exciting to be getting out to your first show, especially if you're up north, like you said. Maybe all the snow is thawing and you're able to ride outside again. But don't be in a hurry with these young horses. So try to keep things still fun, slowly increase. The biggest thing that I would say to do, and being mindful of your schools, pick one goal for yourself. So whether that's maybe working on your canter transition to improve that for your dressage test, or working on maybe a bit better balance or slowing down maybe jumps over fences. If that takes you 40 minutes to get 2 good canter transitions, say, have your school be done. So reward your horse, give them a pat, put them away. It's like this endless schooling that I find really will kind of start to get our young horses working against us a little bit. So I think that would be my biggest advice, is, like, don't overschool and pick a goal for each one of your rides. And then if it takes you 10 minutes, great, right? Pick a new goal next school. So that's probably the easiest way, just to keep it just mentally stimulating, yet not overwhelming for your young horses getting ready for the show season.
I love that. I'm always very, like, or I say this, is I've been years since I've been particularly goal-oriented with my writing, but I always love coming in with, like, this is what I want to achieve, and then being, the hard part is being okay if you are like, well, we achieved it in the first 10 minutes, right? Like, you still are like, well, we need to do more. We need to do it 4 more times. And yeah, that's when you burn out yourself and a horse.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the young horses. Like, I think they will typically, like, associate a reward with, like, you know, they try hard for us. Maybe it's something like, especially if it's a new skill, like, I feel like we'll pull some new stuff out of the bag, right? Like, maybe on an older horse, they've had some time off or the winter off, and then you're getting out, you're looking to move up a level, that sort of thing. So sometimes you can be sort of teaching new skills. And I feel like it's so easy, especially if you're a very goal-oriented rider, is to go out there and just school and school and school and school. And then by the time it's spring and you're getting to that horse show, I find sometimes our partners are a little bit over it. So I think the easiest thing is just to pick one thing at a time. It gives you some structure too, especially if a lot of us maybe don't ride with a trainer all the time. So it just gives us a little bit of a structure to our school, and then we can just go out, work on the one thing. And then that, like I said, kind of associates with, like, doing one thing well. Then they can go back, eat their hay, go outside, go in their stall. So I think that's been probably the best tool in getting these young horses ready for their show season.
Love that. So when horses are working on the track, Aaron, do you know, I mean, they're not out there for a very long time when they go out to school. So that's, I think, a good thing to keep in mind too, as we help bridge these horses into new careers, is like, they go out, they jog, they might gallop, maybe they work out, and their workout is like a minute.
Yep.
And then they cool down and they're done.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. That's actually a really, really good point. Because they're used to that, right? Like, that would be their schedule. They go out and do a little bit kind of every day. So I think in thinking you're going to go out and have this hour-long school on your four-year-old horse off the track, I think that creates a lot more problems. You might think you're getting a lot accomplished, but usually it's kind of hindering some progress.
I love that. And then I'm going to dive a little deeper, Erin. So what about the warm-up? Can even just the warm-up be the lesson of the day if they're maybe not used to it?
Yeah, it absolutely can be. Like, I think, again, it would be, what's the goal, right? So if your horse tends to get maybe a little bit anxious during warm-up or anticipatory, then I would say, like, kind of mold that into a goal as well, right? And also, like, I wouldn't be afraid to stick something on the lunge, especially, like, I grew up in Ontario, so we were inside for, probably at least 4 months of the year. And it was always a really good tool to, like, kind of get feet moving before you're, like, cracking down and working on a skill. So I think that's kind of something else too, is just, like, maybe, like, groundwork is great, play with your horse, break it up, that sort of thing. So, but again, like, just be mindful, and maybe the goal isn't necessarily, like I said, a canter transition, but it's, like, keeping them relaxed for your warm up, right? So play around with that a little bit. And if you find something that works for your horse, I would end it there, right? And then do that again tomorrow. And sometimes it's 2 steps forward, 1 step back. It can feel like that with horses sometimes. But I would just be, like, really goal-oriented in kind of your training this spring.
I love that. I love that. And I think the other thing, too, that we don't always keep in mind with a very, if it's your first show season with the horse, it can be very exciting. Remembering to give them time to grow if they're still young. I find a lot of students forget that. If you have a young horse, you might be butt high, shoulder high, filling out for the first time. Like, you might be taking some breaks through the summer showtime that you're not used to doing with that young horse.
I mean, we always have our calendar, right? We have our schedule. Our horses do not. So I think that's something to be, again, really mindful of. So if you have a young horse that's growing, like you say, we're the ones that have the show season all planned out. So I think be fair to your horse and be mindful of them, because they're always doing their best for us.
I love it. Oh, such good tips. Well, I know everyone's eager to be introduced to our adoptable horse of the week. Who are we talking about today?
So we are talking about Shadow today, who is a lovely big steel gray gelding that we have at our Ocala facility. He retired with a pretty minor tendon injury He needs a little bit more time before he gets restarted. So he is going to be offered for rehab adoption. But he is lovely, big, and beautiful. Everyone always wants to gray. So he's we're just getting everything together. We took his photos today. And we will get him posted shortly on our website.
I love a big, I'm going to go ahead and say it, a big sexy gray.
Yeah.
It's true. There's something very like magical about a gray, despite how much purple shampoo budget you will need to keep that gray clean. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. Like the pictures, they go with every color. They're always like, are just Instagram horses. Just
Absolutely. I think my favorite meme was, it said something about the only way to keep your gray horse clean is using your tears or something like that, which I think if anyone on this podcast has had had a gray horse, I think they can relate to that. It's so frustrating. But
yeah, I grew up showing a Cremello, so I feel the pain on that one.
Lots of tears.
What's this horse's jockey club name so we can find him again?
Shadowed.
Oh, Shadowed. Okay. Oh, I thought that was like a barn nickname. That's a cool name. One of those names you don't change, people. You can go in and show on that because that sounds very badass. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I believe actually he's Irish thoroughbred.
Oh, even cooler.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, perfect. I'm not going to say we planned that for our St. Patrick's adjacent episode, but we totally did. So there you go, folks. Get your Irish bred, celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and then start getting him ready for... You think show season 2027 would be more his jam? Or yeah. Would he be ready to go this year?
No, I think, again, don't be in a rush. He's a young horse. I think ready to rock and roll next spring.
Awesome. Well, we're going to look forward to seeing him on the website. We're getting a little sneak peek before he's fully listed, which we always love, these little exclusives. It means that we can't go, oh my God, while we're watching his videos in real time, which I think always confuses listeners anyway, so it's probably just as well. But we'll keep an eye out for Shadowed, and he will be listed by the time this episode drops on March 25th. So, Aaron, remind listeners where they go to find all of the fabulous horses that you folks have available.
You can visit us on our website or our Facebook page. I think we have all the socials, so visit us. We have horses posted weekly from all of our facilities up and down the East Coast.
Wonderful. All right, folks. Newvocations.org or horseadoption.com. Get those applications in. Aaron, lovely to chat. Enjoy that Ocala sunshine.
Perfect. Thanks so much, you guys.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer, and you can follow along with our new farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MissFitMira, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thanks to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Equestrian Plus, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Networks at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show as it helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And as always, cow side leg.
Bye, guys.